Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riveroftricities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
I learned how to dig deep. I learned how to go deep in the presence of God. Sometimes the presence of God would get so heavy on me, I'd just fall out. And you know, as I was seeking God, I'm just like, ooh. Not asleep. In the presence of God, just lost in the presence of God. That's where I learned how to tap into just worshiping in the prophetic. Just singing a new song to the Lord. You have to push into those things. It doesn't come natural. You can't be distracted by anything else. I'm just pressing in. Why? Because I know it's there. And I know that you know, if you desire, God will allow you to experience all that he has. But I learned that there was a price to pay for the touch of God. Not the touch of God just for myself, but for other people. But God, when he told me no, he was exposing the selfishness in me. I want you to look over in the book of Psalm, chapter 42. Talking about desperation here. How desperate are you for the touch of God? Not for a religious service. Hopefully nobody's desperate for a religious service. But in Psalm 42, it says, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I'll say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I want to tell you, David was going through a time right here in Psalm 42 where he was desperate. There were some things that he didn't like. He was in a place where he's like, why am I going through like this emotional hell? Why am I like depression trying to get a hold of me? God, I want you. I long for you like the deer pants for the water. Lord, I want you. I know this isn't you. There's more to you than this. Some religious activity. And here I am going around with this long face. And my enemies look at me and go like, where's your God? He's not working too well for you, is he? You don't look victorious. You don't look like an overcomer. How many in the church worldwide is like that? You look at them and you don't see any victory. They look as depressed or more depressed than other people in the world. Like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. It's just the way I live. Find some Christians, you know, they're just grouchy people. They're just grouchy, and they'll cuss you out just like somebody in the world will. A little fish on the back of their trunk, it's actually a shark. They're ready to chomp you up. But David didn't give up. He just kept pressing in. Psalm 51. Go a little further. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you've broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I'd give it. You don't delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. I wish I had known these verses when I was hungering for God and learned from David's mistakes. Oh God, where are you? Lord, where are you? God, I need you. I need help. Lord, life sucks. Anybody ever been there before? And no, I'm talking about after you got saved. Anybody been there? Yeah, probably most people here. Wow, I hate life. This really stinks. Because I know how people live, and I know the struggles that people go through. God has no problem touching you. He has no problem changing things. But so many times we just want a touch from God to put a Band-Aid on our problem so that we can feel better. God, touch me so I feel better. You selfish little person. David, as he hungered after God more, we come into Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me, Lord, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. Open my lips, and my mouth will show forth your praise. Oh, David humbled himself. He's like, Lord, if you'll touch me, I'll tell other people about you. I'll make you famous, God. Oh, he touched something then. That's when things begin to change for David. And David began to discover who God really was. What God had for him wasn't just about him, but so many people, all it is about them. Lord, I want to touch. Why? Because I'm having a bad day. I want your power. Why? So people will notice me. A lot of people want to be used by the gifts of the Spirit just so they can be known. Impure motives, impure hearts. As you go on down two more verses in Psalm 63, it says in verse 1, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. David had found a way to attach himself to the presence of God and realized at that point, I really don't have a life outside of God. Lord, I can't live without you. Early will I seek you. I'm not going to sleep in, and then when I feel like it, I'll sacrifice even whatever is dear to me. To be able to come after you, to be able to experience your presence. And I want to tell you, God's looking for the same thing in men and women, young people today, as he was then. If I touch you, what will you do with my touch? What will you do with the touch of God? How many other people will know about God if he puts his hand on you and begins to use you in a supernatural way? Or do you just get a big head about it? I'm going to tell you the biggest hindrance to the touch of God is pride. Pride. It's all about me. What people know that I can do, what I've experienced, power that I have. When you get hungry for God, God will open up things to you. He'll speak to you and he'll say, hey, come, let me talk with you. Let me pour out my presence on you. I remember during those times when I was seeking after God, so hungry for God. This is long before there was, maps on your phones, and you didn't even have, I didn't have a phone. There was no cell phones and stuff like that. I remember God speaking to my heart, and an address came to me. An address. I wrote it down. I didn't know where it was. I was living in Tulsa at that time. And I was like, okay, the only way to find this is I've got to get a map, and I've got to hunt. Thankfully, Tulsa was laid out on a pretty good grid, and so I could always tell the 100 blocks and, what numbers where they would be and everything like this. And so I got this address inside of, just like dropped down inside of me. God said, meet me here. Like, what in the world? So I got my map and I began to go. I began to drive. It wasn't in town. It was like way out. It was undeveloped areas. Wasn't even in town anywhere. I was a few miles outside of the nearest habited place. And I found the address. Pulled in there. It's a little street. Nothing. Just a little bit of nothing. I pulled in there. There's nothing on the street. There's just a little street there. Pulled in there. With my car. Shut the engine off. Okay, I've showed up, God. I don't know why I had to leave home, but Lord, if you tell me to go somewhere, I'm going to go wherever you tell me to go. And Lord, I just want to steal away with you. I just want to go somewhere and just spend time with you, God. And I used to go there often. I would drive to that place, park my car, and get up and just start walking in the woods. Crying out to God, Lord, I want your touch. I want more of you. So hungry for you, Lord, so desperate for you. Some years later, I remember thinking back of that spot, and so I went back to the place where it was. There was a church that was built there. Thought that was cool. But it was just being hungry for God, the Lord, if you'll just speak to me, if you'll If you'll tell me what you want me to do, I'll do that, Lord. My soul longs for you. It's in a dry and thirsty land. I just wanted more of God, more of God. Lord, I want to be aware of your presence, because to me, that's what revival is. Revival isn't a meeting. Revival is living in his presence. It's living in his presence. People are like, oh, we want to have a revival meeting. That's not revival. Revival is a change of heart. It transforms your life. You start living in a different way, at a new level. That's why America needs revival. Or if you want to call it a renewal, or you want to call it an awakening, whatever, America needs it. They don't need a service. They don't need a religious service. We don't need for God to come here. I felt a little something in my hair. I got some goosebumps. That's not revival. Revival is a changed life. Revival will transform you so that you go out and you begin to do things in a completely different way. You begin to proclaim him. You make him famous. And you become faithful to him. You become faithful. Revival brings faithfulness out in people. And we need it now in our lives, not just in a church. I'm not talking about revival for a church. It's way too small. I'm not talking about revival for a city. It's too small. I'm talking about a move of God that sweeps across a continent. It jumps from nation to nation to nation. Lives are impacted, totally, totally changed. But you have to become aware. When a revival is ignited inside you, like the fire of revival, all of us need the fire of God. You got to have the fire of God. Not just on the outside, but inside. And you have to desire that and live in his presence. And I remember after being in that place for 9 months seeking the Lord, and just transformed everything about my life. And one of the reasons, I just want to tell you this, one of the reasons why I started seeking God is that in my church, my dad was the pastor. Out of default, not only was I youth pastor, but he asked if I would also start leading worship. Now, honestly, I sang, but I did not want to lead worship. I did not at all want to lead worship. But he said, you've got a good voice. Just lead. I knew nothing about leading worship. Nothing. I didn't want to know anything about leading worship. I'd seen what worship was as I did it. And to me, it was the stupidest thing in the world. Because it was a bunch of dead songs. And you had to like talk for like 3 minutes between every song. Like introducing it or something like that. I was like, oh. It was so dead. I hated it. It's not like the people, they didn't, they seemed to kind of enjoy it a little bit. I was like, I want more. All to me, all it was really was a song service. And it was bad. Let me just tell you, it was bad. And I was so mad because it was bad. But I didn't know what good was, but I knew we didn't have good. I don't even know how to explain that, but I knew this is not good. People Religion makes you stupid. They think, oh, yeah, this is great. It's, no, it's not good. It's not good. It's not great. This is bad. Because I think when you worship God, God ought to show up. So I got so hungry for God just so I could go to a new level in leading worship. That's what caused me to get hungry for God. I was tired of bad. And there was no such thing as like worship is now. That did not exist. You didn't hear worship on the radio. Able to go, you know, just get it everywhere. No, it just didn't happen. And I just got so hungry for God, so I began to seek Him. And when God began to show up in the room every morning, it transformed my life. Just so transformed my life. And so I said, Lord, if I ever come to the place where I'm not aware of your presence, every waking moment of my day, I said, Lord, these were my words, Lord, yank my chain. Lord, yank my chain. Those were my exact words. What that meant, had a dog, yeah, don't want you sniffing over there, come here, you know. So I just said, Lord, yank my chain. Fast forward several months, still walking in the presence of God, incredible things taking place. God had come down in an amazing way, and revival had ignited inside of the church. The church had just blown up in a good way. And in a matter of a couple years, we had had to move. Our church, we'd had to move into three different buildings. Just kept growing. And so I remember it was Christmas time. It was Christmas Eve. I'm sitting in my office at the church, because that's pretty much where I always was before I was married. I'd go home to sleep for about 4 hours a night. That was all I was at home. Other than that, I was always at the church. And I was just working on stuff, and then I realized, oh, it's Christmas Eve. About 2 o'clock, Christmas Eve. I haven't done any of my shopping yet. Such a guy. And I hadn't done anything, and I was like, oh, I still probably need to go pick up some stuff for family and friends and things like that. Mall was a couple miles away. So I left the church. Drove over to the mall, went in there, and I was, quickly, because that's how I like to shop, quick. Just go in, get what I need, walk out. I don't look at anything else. I know what I'm doing. It's just like precision shopping. Okay, I don't care what's on sale. None of these things, I don't see signs. I just, boop, right there, get that, walk out. Well, I pay for it first. And and so I had gone. I knew different things that different people wanted and everything like that. So I was, methodically going through the mall, starting at one end, going all down and everything like that. And it was getting closer to 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock is when all the gates start coming down on all of the shops. And so I had one more shop to get to at the very end of the mall, Macy's. And I was sprinting towards Macy's down the big mall aisleway. And as I was running down the tiled path in the mall running, all of a sudden I felt something hit my shin. It's like someone stuck their leg out and clocked me right in the shin, and I went flying down the aisle, sliding, skidding, all my bags, packages, everything came out and is sliding across the aisle, and it's just like everywhere. And I was just going to barely get there in time. And now, not only do I have to clean up this big mess of all of the packages and boxes and everything all over the place, but now my my shin is aching because of what somebody did. And so I'm thinking, this is probably one of the young people at the church that works here in the mall, thinking they're going to be funny to the youth pastor, try to trip me as I'm running through the mall. So honestly, I was a little upset, okay? Just a little bit, okay? And I was like, ah, I can't believe that somebody did that. So I'm looking around, I'm like, I don't see anybody. It's like 6 o'clock, Christmas Eve. Most people aren't at the mall by that time still. I'm looking around and, you know, the gates are halfway down in some of the shops. I'm looking around trying to see who did this. I don't see anybody anywhere. I was like, what in the world? Rubbing my shin, I go over and sit down on a bench, kick my packages over towards the bench and everything. And so I'm stuffing all my stuff back in the bags. 6 o'clock, I can't get there to the store now. So I'm not going to be able to get what I needed. And I'm putting all of the things in the sacks and all. And the Lord speaks to me. I heard the Holy Spirit say, Todd, you said, yank my chain. I was like, ooh. Because I said, Lord, if I ever get to the place where I'm not aware of your presence, yank my chain. And here it was, Christmas Eve. You would think a day when it would be the most prominent thing for people to be thinking about Jesus, about the Lord. And all I was thinking about was getting gifts for family and friends and being on time and all of this other stuff. And it wasn't even a thought of mine, the Lord. It wasn't a condemning thing. It was just like, I came for your words. You told me if I ever get to this place, yank my chain. I did it. It wasn't a person that did that. I sat there on that bench, and I began to weep. I just broke in the presence of God, and I felt his presence come all over me again. I was like, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. It wasn't like I was repenting because I'd sinned. I hadn't sinned. I hadn't done anything wrong. But I had a standard that I wanted to live at. I want to be aware of your presence. I want to live in revival. I want to live in your presence. And I've heard a lot of people over the years say, you can't live like this. But I want to tell you something that is so wrong. You can live in the presence of the Lord. You just have to hunger after him. And you have to hunger, and then you have to hunger again. And you have to hunger again. And you can't let there be so much time between your hungerings. Because I found out that the more you hunger for God, the hungrier you get. It's not like in the natural, where if you eat a meal, then okay, I don't want anything for a while. It's just like the more I know him, the more I want to know him more. The more I experience his presence, the less I want to leave his presence. I want to live here, Lord. I want to be here with you. There's nothing like the presence of the Lord. And I can't explain it in any better way. But just to say, if you're not hungry for God, that means that it's been a while since you've been in his presence. If you're not hungry for God, it's been too long since you've been in his presence. If it was like an inconvenience when they said to you, let's go to church tonight. The psalm said, you know, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Why? Because that's a person that hungers after God. And actually, it's a place where God shows up. But if you're not really hungry for God, then things that typically would cause you to experience his presence, you really don't have a priority in your life for that. There's more important things. I'd love to go, but I gotta mow the grass. That's great, but I need to go to the store. It's not that mowing the grass isn't important. It has to be done. It's not that going to the grocery store isn't important. You have to do it sometimes. But what am I gonna put before God, before seeking God? What is my priorities? And so I ask you, if your priority number one, above everything else, is not the presence of the Lord, then believers, your priorities are out of whack. And you won't experience all that God has until you put him back at the top. You say, no matter what, Lord, I'm going to make time for you. I will make room for you. It's that song we sing. I will make room for you. So important that we make room for God every day. But when I have opportunities to come together with other hungry people, there's nothing like, I close here, there's nothing like eating a meal, a great meal, with hungry people. I'm telling you, it's so annoying if you have a great meal and somebody isn't hungry at it.
Picking through it. I'm not really hungry. I had the Doritos.
Like, let me slap you. Why did you do that? Why would you have done that? You knew it was just like an hour and a half before we ate, and you wolfed down that whole 18-ounce bag of Doritos. Why did you do that? I was hungry. No, hunger doesn't eat that. If you're hungry, get something good. Most Christians settle for cold snacks spiritually. Whereas in God's presence, God will give you a hot meal every single time. 5-star meal. Absolutely amazing. Totally worth it. But you have to make a decision. I'm going to come after him with everything that I am. With all that I am, Lord, I hunger for you. Lord, I'm desperate for you. I don't want your touch just to give me some goosebumps. Lord, I want to see lives transformed. Lord, I want to see Johnson City turned upside down with the power of God. Lord, I want to see the Tri-Cities set ablaze with the presence of God. No, God, I want all of East Tennessee radically shaken with the pill. No, the whole state, God. We'll even let Nashville in. Lord God, I want everything. No, I want the entire United States, Lord, saturated with your presence. Father God, will you touch me? I want your touch so that everybody that I come in contact with will hear about you. And they will want you as much as I do. Will you grab hold of the passion to lay hold of God? Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. Kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. No, you can't lull me to sleep. No, I am too expecting. I have come expecting. I'm going to get what I came for. I am determined. I am determined. God is going to touch me. And I'm not going to leave here without his touch. Lord, I hunger for you. Desperate for you. want you to just bow your heads with me right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.